Our first scripture reading this evening comes from Psalm 116. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. Our second reading, gospel reading, is from Luke chapter 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they begin to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When it is that Jesus tells Peter and John to go and prepare the Passover meal that we may eat it, that sounds simple and direct. Our tendency is to focus on what he says next about the effort that they will have to go to secure the location. And he tells them, of course, how to do that. And then the scripture reads that once that is done, they prepare the Passover meal. And that sounds pretty simple. But it's actually really complicated. The Passover meal has many parts and sections. There are prayers, multiple prayers that go along with the Passover meal. There are statements. There are rituals that take place. And then there is the food. It's special food that is symbolic. And it has to be prepared in a specific way. A modern Passover service can be quite involved. And though there is some debate about just how much of the things that go on in a modern Passover meal would have been done in Jesus' time, it still was something that took a good bit of effort in preparation. In other words, Jesus is giving Peter and John no simple task that they can do quickly. This is going to take some effort. A few years ago, when I was in Knoxville, the custodian of the church that we had, a wonderful man who had done that for many years, also worked at one of the large downtown Knoxville hotels. Now, this particular year that I'm remembering, the hotel where he worked had hosted a large Passover celebration for the Jewish community in Knoxville. And there's several Jewish folks who live in Knoxville. He was cleaning up after the meal, putting things back in order, and he happened to find a program. And he thought to himself, now this is something Robert would like. And he was right. He brought it to me. I still have it. That's been 20, right at 20 years ago. I still have it. This is it. It's somewhat lengthy. The Passover meal is called a Haggadah. This book is 64 pages. Now, half of it's in Hebrew. It's actually in here twice. Once in Hebrew and once in English. Because in Knoxville, even the Jews kind of stumble through their Hebrew, I'm sure. But can you imagine? What would it have been like tonight if in coming to this service, you were handed a 32-page bulletin? We would not be done quickly. We'd be here for a while. And indeed, a Passover meal lasts for some hours. It is not something quick. One of the parts of the Passover meal, and I've studied this book, as you can imagine, over the years, and one of the parts of the Passover meal that I think is really kind of neat is what's called the four questions, or in Hebrew, the Ma Nishtana. How this works is that the youngest person who is present at the Passover meal is supposed to ask four questions. And then the oldest person who is there is supposed to give four answers to those four questions. Now, John, in our scripture, is generally regarded as the youngest of the apostles. Some biblical scholars think John would have even been in his teens at this point. Peter, on the other hand, is often regarded as the oldest of the apostles. The four questions that whoever that youngest person would have asked are these questions. Why do we eat only matzah with unleavened bread? Why do we eat only maror, which are bitter herbs? Why do we dip the vegetables twice? Why do we lean when we eat? Now, those are specific answers to those four questions. And they have to do with the Passover story that we find recorded in the book of Exodus and with the interpretation of some of those events. But the point of these four questions is simple. Why is this night different? This night is different from all other nights. Why is it different? Why do we do these things in this way only on this night? And then the answers are given. But the point of all of the answers is you begin the meal as a slave and you end the meal as free. Our Jewish friends seek to live into this experience every Passover, when they remember the events that are recorded in Scripture. And all of these rituals, like these four questions, are to help remember the importance, the significance, the meaning of the Exodus, relived every year as they remember who they are as God's people. And this is what Jesus would have been doing with the disciples. he would have had the Passover meal with these particular foods that they still serve at a Passover meal. And there are many prayers, psalms that are said in addition, and they would have done that. But the Passover meal was not only different from the other meals, but this Passover meal that Jesus has with the disciples is different from any other Passover meal that they had had. It was a meal, not just simply of remembering the past in their present, like a Passover should be, but it was a meal as well in the present, looking to the future. Now, our Christian Lord's Supper, or sometimes we call it Holy Communion, or there are those who even call it Eucharist. This meal that we have as Christians has its origin in the Jewish Passover meal. We still often use unleavened bread, and we still use juice, and some traditions use wine as they would use in a Passover meal. There is a part of our communion service where we're doing the same thing that they did in the Passover. We're remembering something. We're remembering how we got to this point. But as you know, we don't confine this only to the Thursday before Easter. Instead, we have communion frequently. That's because it's more than just a meal of remembering, as important as remembering is. It's also a meal that looks to the future, to the kingdom of God. Every time we have communion. Now, right away, as Jesus gathers with his disciples, he tells them that there's something different with this meal this time. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Right away, he puts into their minds this idea of the kingdom of God. Jesus is starting to redirect their thoughts. He's not saying the Passover is no longer important, but he's saying here's something else that you need to think about. It's not just simply about recalling the past. It's easy to presume that those disciples spent time doing that. But now there's a future element, the element of the kingdom of God. What could he mean? I'm sure the disciples had lots of questions, more than just those four questions. They have lots of questions about what Jesus does and why he does the things that he does. Sometimes they simply don't have any clue about what he's doing. But here at least he starts to give them an understanding. It has to do with suffering. I have wanted to eat this meal with you before I suffer. The Passover meal is not at all about suffering. In fact, the Passover meal, as our Jewish friends celebrated, is about the end of suffering, the end of the suffering of slavery. It is a meal of redemption. But Jesus anticipates suffering, the suffering that is coming. We'll really enter into this idea tomorrow night in Good Friday. There we focus through scripture and through music. We focus on the cross and on the meaning of that suffering. And that's important for us to do. There is no resurrection unless there is a crucifixion. For Jesus, the suffering is real. That's what we remember on Good Friday. And especially, we remember that that's also part of what we do every Sunday that we take communion. Before he gave himself up for us, Jesus did these things. The remembrance of what Jesus has done for us is weekly and constantly as followers, And we remember that suffering is part of that. It is the pathway that Jesus follows after he leaves the meal. Suffering is often part of what life is, and we know that. Into all of our lives, we carry some measure of suffering. Life can be difficult. There are disappointments. There are difficulties. There are trials that we experience. There are losses. There are things that happen that are unexpected that we're not sure how to deal with. We cannot come to this Easter season without remembering that there is immense suffering going on in our world. That news is brought to our homes and into our lives daily. But it's not that there's no joy. In fact, there's much joy. And the Passover meal is meant to be a joyous meal. And I have no doubt that as Jesus was with his disciples, there was great times of joy. Those moments are so important. If we cannot ignore the suffering, we also cannot ignore the joy that is to be found in life. In fact, the joy that we experience is all the more wonderful because there is suffering. The kingdom of God that Jesus mentions is the promise of that joy. Not just sometimes in the present, and not just confined to the future. But what Jesus does is he asks us if we will see a kingdom that he wants us to be a part of. If we will see the kingdom where there is no suffering, where there is no death, no injustice, no war, no violence, no divisions, where no one is excluded. The Holy Communion that we celebrate is a reminder that in Jesus, God makes this kingdom possible. And Jesus asks us not only to see that, Jesus asks us to seek it. Holy Communion is meant to encourage us, to empower us, to strengthen us as a means of grace so that we can see joy beyond suffering. That even in the world where suffering can be so real and so terrible, we can find ways to share the joy of the kingdom, find ways to make that joy a reality. Especially for those who are suffering. That is the work of the church. That is the joy that we want to share with the world around us. All the sin and all the suffering of the world is clear for all to see. But as the church, it is our task to serve the world, to make the joy of God's kingdom so real that we can see it, and that we can share that kingdom that is breaking into our midst through what Jesus has done. Thanks be to God.